Ladies and gentlemen, introducing James Montemagno from Zamarin.
Oh, wow. The first question is, what are you guys doing here? Charles Petzl, Paul Betts are speaking right now. Oh my goodness, I don't know. It's so amazing to have so many of you show up. I really appreciate it. But what I want to do right now is take us back in time to a glorious year that I call 1997. Bring yourself back. Remember what you were doing. For me, it was a crucial time in my childhood. South Park had just aired on television, transforming my life in comedy forever. What else happened? There was record-breaking box office movies coming out, like such as Titanic. Fun fact about Titanic, the length of that movie is the same length that it took the Titanic to ship to the second. I just found that out researching that. More importantly, though, my childhood was completely destroyed by a little game called GoldenEye 007 for the N64. I remember countless hours just not doing homework. It was great. More importantly, I was 11 years old, and the internet was brand new to me. We had just gotten our first computer. And what's interesting about the internet in 1997 is that it looked a little bit something like, like I got to plug in my pointer. There we go. Looked a little bit something like this. There were a million websites in the world. It was glorious. I mean, so much content. I mean, sure, they're all GeoCities, but you know, there was a lot of websites out there. What's interesting is the growth of the internet over the last, I don't know, what's that? Seventeen years? I can't do math. Since 2014, so 2 years back. If you look at the growth from a million to what it was at the end of 2014, from 1 million, there's now more than 1 billion web hosts and 1 million websites in the world. This is exponential growth. And you can see most of the growth was done in the last few years. What's interesting is if you apply the same curve to mobile, and at the end of 2014, there was 1 million apps in the Google Play Store alone, and another 1 million apps on the Apple App Store. If you look at just 2 years later, that number has more now than doubled. And we're all mobile app developers, or going to be mobile app developers. And a fun statistic for you, as you sit in this room right now in the next 45 minutes, another 20 apps will be added to the App Store right now. Every about 2 to 3 minutes, a new app is released on the Apple App Store alone, and who knows how many Google is auto-approving and Microsoft's auto-approving all the time, right? It's a wonderful Wild West over there, it's great. So it's really interesting that this growth is exponential that's going on. And this is just in the consumer field. This is not including enterprise. So there's millions of other apps being built and deployed all over the world. Now, what's interesting is that no matter if you're building applications or you have a mobile phone, there's consumers, we all love mobile apps. That's why we're here. We're here to build great app experiences. And every single day, 200 million apps are downloaded from the app stores. That's a lot of apps. Now, you may be wondering, well, how do we use our actual mobile phones and mobile devices on a day-to-day basis? Well, it's really interesting. We're basically glued to them because we spend 200 minutes on our phone, just like here we are, no matter where we're at. This is like doing anything. What's really intriguing is how much time we spend in mobile applications. So for instance, not on phone calls or browsing the web, inside of physical apps that we download from the App Store. And on that, it's nearly over 2/3 of our time is spent in a physical mobile application, whether that be a game, whether it be Gmail, doing something productivity, taking notes. We're in apps all the time. And this number is just going to exponentially skyrocket as we move to a mobile-only society. So we love applications, and we use them a lot, but how many do we actually use? We're here to build great app experiences, like I said. So if you look at the average user, this is average user, not all of us in the room that probably have hundreds of apps installed, but the average user has about 36 applications that they've downloaded from the App Store. And that's quite an impressive number. But what's kind of scary about that is that only a quarter of those applications are used on a daily basis. It's a very low percentage. What's even scarier is that a quarter of all the apps installed on a user's phone or never used at all. Like they've just installed and it's just sitting there. Maybe because their friend told them to download it. So we want to create great app experiences. And I said, well, this number seems a little crazy, 36 apps. I mean, I use apps all the time, every single day. So I said, I'm going to survey my phone. And I said, all right, well, how many apps do I have? And this is my phone. This is pretty up to date. This is the old app icon you can see there for Evolve 2016. The new one's nice, fancier. But I had 117 apps installed on my device. And I like to count a non-system, like what did Google, you know, let me download from the App Store and didn't pre-install. There's about over 107 apps that I had downloaded from the App Store, and that blew my mind. So I said, okay, well, I obviously must be some sort of power user. I have a lot of apps, and I must be using a lot on a daily basis. Well, these statistics I thought couldn't be right, but lo and behold, they were. I surveyed, and in a given day, I used 17 apps on average throughout the whole day. Now, I will say that about 85% of the time was spent in Slack or Gmail. So really, you could think it's I used two apps that entire day, or maybe Hangouts, which isn't even up there. Oh, guess I wasn't chatting that day. But mostly in Slack, because it was a work day. So the statistics are pretty true, even for power users. I'm only using about 20%, less than 20% of my apps. So how do we, as mobile app developers, create rich experiences to keep users inside of our applications and coming back for more? What we need to do is enable users to discover our application's content and engage with it. They need to feel as if their mobile apps aren't an app, but it feels integrated into the complete operating system. So how many of you today are building mobile applications? How many of you building mobile applications, keep your hands up, would like your apps to be used more? Probably everybody, right? We all want our apps to be used more. All right, now, how many of you are building like a companion website? You have a website that has some content with the application. Yeah, something like that, right? How many of you would like to, I don't know, connect those two experiences together? Wouldn't that be lovely? Of course you would. That's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna take a look at this beautiful slide that our design team made, part of the keynote, but how we can connect every single bit together, the operating system, our mobile app installed, and the entire web. No matter if someone's sharing a link, browsing on the website, we want to connect this all together. Let's just take a look at it, because I think a slide is fine, but I want to go in and I'm going to show you the optimal search experience. All right. So I'm going to go over here, and I have my iPhone tethered here. That's my password, 1010. It's my sister's birthday, so I don't forget. All right. That's also a quick tip. If you ever want to remember someone's birthday, make it like a pin. You'll never forget. Cool. All right, so here's the optimal search experience that I want. You guys may have known I built a Xamarin Evolve mobile app. It's quite lovely. It's pretty fantastic. All right, cool. So maybe you're inside of here and you're browsing sessions, and you're like, oh man, this mobile app thing, that sounds great. You know, everyone after the session is gonna go and rate this session and definitely give it a 5-star. I appreciate that. Cool. Did you guys know you could leave feedback in the app? Okay, cool. That means I did my job okay. So you might be coming over here, and every single time you guys wanna look for something, you have to come in here, you have to go into the search thing, and you're like, I don't know, mobile, you know, search, all right, you gotta go in here. But wouldn't it just be great if you were on your home screen, and I don't know, you just typed, you know, mobile, you know, search. Oh, cool, there it is. You tap on it, and it just opens into the application and navigates you to exactly where you want to go. That'd be pretty fantastic. Or over here on Android, I come up to Google Now, and I say, mobile search. Or maybe, I don't know, Xamarin. Maybe a Xamarin Forms app. Uh-oh. What's going on here? Have a debug version installed. That's not good. Let's do this. The power of the internet here. Xamarin Evolve. Install that puppy. Look at all those permissions. 10 megs. Oh, that's a great app size. I did a phenomenal job. I don't know how I did that. That's magical. Cool. All right, we're going to install this puppy. All right, cool. So we go in, and we'll sign in later. Update that schedule, hit Azure about 100 times. Perfect. Let's browse our sessions. Boop, boop, boop. Awesome. So we come up here, and again, we say mobile search. There it is. It's right here for me. I click on it, boom, I'm inside. That's a great experience. But what if we actually did a little bit more? It's connected, it's obviously indexed inside of our actual search. So what if I came in and I said, you know what would be better is what if I went into Google search and I said, I don't know, Xamarin Evolve. All right, there's the app, but I don't want to open the app. I want to look at the website. There it is. So I'm going to open the website. And we can already see the mobile app is a much better experience. Because now I got to scroll down, and there's a keynote thing, and I'm like, oh, geez, this is terrible. All right, but what if I wanted to, I don't know, go in and search and look at a session. Where's the sessions here? I tap on that. I'm going to say open a new tab. I'm not an iPhone user. How does this thing work? All right, cool. So I go here, and I go to this page, and it's loading. And there's some reader. Oh, look at this. It says, hey, do you want to open it in the Evolve application? Yeah, of course I do. Why wouldn't I? I open it up, and boom, I'm inside of this session. I go back to Safari, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want to maybe check out a different session here. So let's go and scroll over to this thing, go back here. Let's go ahead and maybe, I don't know, let's look at Paul Betts going on. I'm going to long press. And here I could just say open and evolve 2016. Boom. That's an amazing experience. I never have to load the website. I don't have to wait for it to load. It just goes right into my application, and I'm good to go. Better yet, let's say I come over here, and I'm like, I don't know, Xamarin Evolve. Look at this. It already tells me the app is installed. When I go to the mobile web, it doesn't even let me go to the mobile website. It just opens the application right to where I was. Check this out, though. What if I'm getting a little bit fancier here on my iPhone? And I say, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if I searched for Xamarin Evolve? I don't know, how about mobile? Let me see. Material Design. I gave a talk yesterday with Jeremy, Material Design. Oh, it's app indexed here. You can see right, I'm going to put it right at the top. There it is. What if I just tapped on that? And it brought me into the application. I didn't even have to go to the website. These are the optimal search experiences that are there. Yeah, your users can go to your mobile website, but do we really want them to? They have the app installed on their phone. They went to the app store. They downloaded it. Else, if they didn't and they don't have it, put some banners up there that are letting them know that there's a mobile application. But what's really cool that we can see up top is check this out, up here. Now, since they came from the browser, iOS knows that they can go back to Safari or they can go to Xamarin.com. It automatically knows. I didn't have to do any of that. Those little things up there, it's a great experience to my users. So how the heck did I do that is probably what you're wondering. Well, in this talk today, we're not only going to see exactly how I built this, but we're going to take a look at iOS, Android, and Xamarin Forms. So no matter how you're building your application, traditionally or with Xamarin Forms, you can do this. Because the Evolve application is built with Xamarin Forms. Cool. So let's look at iOS first. How many of you are building iOS applications? Perfect. I want to go over the basic building blocks of each platform. Because it's so important if you're building Xamarin Forms apps, how this works. Or if you're creating maybe not Xamarin Forms applications or looking to go there, know how this works too. So iOS, there's three APIs. Oh, what did I do here? There's NS User Activity. That's the first one that we're going to look at. And NS User Activity is an interesting thing. NS User Activity is a way of kind of snapshotting a page of my application. This is the first API to talk about. It does a bunch of cool things. It can do handoffs. If you have an iPhone and an iPad, it can crosstalk or even to your OS X. It's made for pieces of content or pages. So, you know, a session detail. The idea here is that NS User Activity is an activity. So it's when someone views something. And what's cool and really nice is that NS User Activity gives you the ability to save state of a screen, which means that if someone's entering data into a field, you can actually hand that off between devices. It gives you additional information. But the point of NS User Activity is less data. So that's one way of doing it. I'm also a big fan of Core Spotlight, though. These are all iOS APIs. Core Spotlight was introduced in iOS 9. Essentially, it's exactly the same as Spotlight, but it's made for pre-indexing the entirety of your mobile application that you want to give to your users in that drop-down. So these two things here, NS User Activity, Core Spotlight, that's that little drop-down thing that you saw first. You can do the full set or a partial set, but it's made for more data with less functionality. You see, you can't really save state. It doesn't. It isn't in part of handoff at all, so you lose some of that. But I think it's really great if you're like, I have a bunch of products that I want to go to. And the last bit of it is web markup. We're going to look at this last, and this is essentially a way of deep linking from the web. But without those two things, NS User Activity and Core Spotlight, you can't do this thing. So what we want to do here is like I did in the Evolve application. I'm going to take a look just at NS User Activity, because Core Spotlight is essentially very similar. So NS User Activity, the idea is if I search for something, I search for a monkey, the app comes up, and then I also get some monkeys in there. This is like the plain Janus thing that you can ever see. It's literally master detail. That's what we want to do. Now, the core principle of NS User Activity, think of it as like a micro data store on the iOS that you get to participate in, which is very cool. You can participate in a public index or a private index. Private index, essentially, if you're doing like enterprise data and you don't want it to be kind of synced with the cloud or anything like that between the user's devices, then you want that set. Else, everything is basically public. But it works a little bit like this. You kind of have a record, this beautiful baboon here. He's over here, he's going to get indexed. There's a little bit of NS User Activity session state with some metadata, and it's saved on device. That will automatically get populated into the Spotlight search when you drop down, and then you have access to it and can navigate back in. So let's see what that looks like exactly in code. Well, I'm inside of maybe my detail page of a view controller. And what we're going to do here first is create our NS User Activity. And this is our unique identifier. So when the user taps on that monkey, it's going to bring them back into my application, and that's the ID I'm going to get. That's very important. Then you can see here I can say if I can be eligible for handoff, am I in the public indexing? And then I start adding some metadata, and I give it some attributes, some keywords, the monkey name and monkey, so I can add a bunch of things to it. More importantly, though, is I say, what do I want to show in the user interface? So here I want to show the monkey details as the content description. And then finally, this is going to be our index, so kind of value and then key. They do it reverse for some reason, but it's from object and key. So essentially, the name is my key, and the value will be the monkey name. Usually, this is your unique identifier of your piece of content. So maybe this is the deep link, you know, 511, blah, 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 that you want. It's a unique identifier. Every session in the Evolve app has an ID, and that's what I index on. And then you just return that as your activity. So this is me, like, as my helper class. I'm going to create this NS User Activity. Then, inside of my view controller, all I have to do is on view did appear and will disappear, simply create the activity, say, hey, I'm the current activity, and when I'm done, I resign. That's it. And that gets indexed right away. Now, when I come back into my application and the user clicks on it, I'm going to be notified. And like every iOS application, all notifications apparently come into the app delegate. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to go into your app delegate and override continue user activity. This is a very, very common method. This gets triggered if you're doing like 3D touch, if you're doing a bunch of other stuff, like web stuff coming in, app links, things like that. Everything, this is the core of iOS. Magic happens here. What happens is that it says, hey, the user wants to continue an activity that they started somewhere. In this instance, we created that user activity with that monkey. So here we can see I use the same exact case, and I say, do a switch case of the activity type. I grab the key, which is just a string based on the name, and then I can do whatever I want to do. I would navigate. Not that much code, right? I would probably go and grab my storyboard, like go and do some navigation, and push over to the monkey page, and done. Doesn't seem that complex. And the brilliant part here is that every single one of you today can go do this. You don't need a website. You don't need anything special. You can just start indexing your content. So now when the user searches, it just shows up, just like they are going to expect. If they integrate and you do Siri, too, if they say search for something, your app can populate when they talk to Siri. Siri will give recommendations based off of your NS user activities, which is quite brilliant. So that's iOS. Simple? What do you guys think? Easy? A little bit? Not hard. Cool. So how many of you guys are going to go run home and integrate this into your app? Wow, perfect. Great. Now, how many of you guys are creating Android applications? Yeah, me too. I'm a big Android fanboy. I love Google Play Services. Google Play Services do like everything. What I love about Android is basically the operating system does nothing, and there's all these support libraries in Google Play Services that does everything. It was really interesting. Jeremy and I were giving a presentation yesterday on material design, and we showed an Android XML file that didn't contain a single Android widget of the system. It was all app compat stuff and design libraries. It was amazing. It's like I built an entire application without using anything on the system. And that's where something really unique that Google is really talking about right now and really pushing hard and wants every Android developer to opt into, which is Google App Indexing. Google indexes the entire internet, and they do a brilliant job. They also want to index every single one of your applications. They want to get in there and investigate in what's going on and surface that information up to your users no matter where they're at, if they're in Chrome, if they're in Search, or if they're in any other browser. They want to do that, whether you're in iOS or whether you're in Android. And I'm going to focus first on Android because iOS is extremely simple once you do one other thing. So we want to search better. We want to do some things, such as searching for a monkey. And this is the Monkeys application that you can get from the Google Play Store right now. If you search Monkeys app, Xamarin, it comes up. There's like, I don't know. It's my sample of app indexing. But what we want to do is, as we search for the golden lion tamarin, Xamarin, see what we did there? Cool. You search for that, you click on it, it goes here, just like we saw in Spotlight search. Better yet, check this out. When I search for the golden lion tamarin, it tells me that I have the app installed and the monkey is there. So let's check this out really quick. I love this thing. This is amazing. Let me show you the monkeys app. I mean, everyone needs a monkeys app. So apparently I didn't install the monkeys app. Oh, because I wanted to install it fresh. Check this out. So I'm gonna go here and there's monkeys app. Well, not those ones, Xamarin. Perfect. I'm going to install this. And while that's installing, I'm going to show you this beautiful website I made. It's monkeysapp.com. Because everyone who has a companion app obviously needs a companion website. So here we have the monkeys application showing you all your favorite monkeys, such as the golden tamarin. Beautiful pictures. You can see I'm an amazing web developer. It has population. You can see I even added some sweet install from the Google Play Store there. You can browse all your favorite monkeys. There's Sebastian and Henry. Mooch is up here. Mooch would like to make an appearance soon. Hey, everyone. These are monkeys that travel with me all over the world, and I thought they should be part of this experience. So I'm not even going to open the application at all right? Because what you saw me do with the Evolve app was I indexed it manually. Like, I indexed and I just opted into local search. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say monkeys app baboon. It goes here. Let me go ahead and close this at least once. Close a few things here. Ah, emulators. I wish I had a touchscreen. So monkeys app baboon. Cool. It knows that I have it installed. I didn't even open the application yet. I literally just installed it. What's that? I'm gonna show you. Blow your minds. So check this out though. I'm gonna click it. What? I've never opened the application, ever. It knows to take me to the baboon. It's pretty amazing, right? All right, check this out. So, how did I do this? And so now also if I go and say baboon, there it is. The baboon's now been indexed because I viewed it. I can tap on it. I get the baboon again. It's a quite lovely monkey. These guys, they scream really loud, but they're pretty adorable. All right, cool. So we're going to come back to the slides. Check this out. So Google App Indexing, there's a few steps that we need to take to make this happen. Because we want this great experience, which is both iOS and Android, that we kind of just saw with Spotlight Search with NS User Activity. We want this experience. Someone that installs your application, and they're one of those users that, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But they've searched for something, and they've searched for a restaurant, they searched for some electronic, and your website shows up. And this is because this is a website. I have the actual website that you see, and you see open on monkeyapps.com. But they're not going to see that. They're just going to tap the first thing, because we're trained just to tap that first link. Anyone below, it doesn't matter. Smithsonian, I win. Sorry, I win. All right, cool. So how did I do that? Well, the first thing to do is that Google App Indexing relies on HTTP URLs, HTTP or HTTPS. So the first thing that we need to do for our Android application, oops, I did that wrong. There's four steps. It's not what I wanted to show, but that's fine. That's step one. I'll just pretend the other one didn't go. This is step one. Android is an amazing operating system. It's very loosely coupled. Multiple applications can launch each other. We can crosstalk. It's a wonderful, beautiful world, people, especially in Android. Sure, it's a beautiful disaster and a mess, but it's lovely. And I love it. So there's these things called intent filters. So everyone who doesn't know what an intent filter is? Cool. An intent filter essentially is a contract to say, you know what, there's some categories. This is a browsable category. This action view essentially is the contract that maybe like when I tap on a web page and I have a view, that something can launch this. And what I'm saying is that for this data scheme of HTTP, you could even have your own data scheme of monkey apps colon and do a bunch of contracts so apps can talk to your app. For monkey apps and monkeyapps.com, I'm gonna look for this data prefix of home/detail. My application can handle that. That's what this is saying. And when someone tries to launch this action view, which essentially is browsing to a website or being launched by another application into the web browser, hey, my application can handle that. I'm smart enough that I can do that. So that's what that intent filter does. And there's intent filters for all sorts of things, for launching the camera, for launching the browser, for doing a whole bunch of different things on the Android operating system. So what you're gonna do here is you can add as many of these puppies as you want, or monkeys, if you will. You're gonna add as many of these monkeys if you will, as you want. So if you support HTTP, HTTPS, if you have different data prefixes, you're gonna add them there. That's step one. The next thing that we're gonna do is whenever someone clicks on a link and Google, the actual operating system Android, says, hey, I can handle it, you're gonna get an on new intent. Your on new intent, this is the code from the monkeys app. It's gonna say, hey, there's some data, I'm gonna parse it out. You can see that my beautiful, if it contains home details, my beautiful index to essentially parse out some stuff and get the monkey ID. That's what I'm doing there. And if that happens, go ahead and launch the activity and pass that information over to the detail page. So when someone clicks on the baboon, I get an intent with the full URL of that website that's indexed, so that URL. It comes in, it parses out the ID, the identifier I want to use, and I just use it to navigate as if someone was in the list view of monkeys, they clicked on it, I pass the ID, I open it. It's pretty simple, not too bad. So now, that's it. So if I just do that, automatically, those things are gonna open inside of Google Now for me automatically. Well, almost. Google's a little bit picky because if we go back a slide here, monkeysapp.com, you guys could just go copy this code and be like, hey, I own monkeysapp.com. How does Google know that this application belongs to monkeyapps.com? Very problematic if everyone wants to handle Twitter links and Twitter's like, hey, you know, we kind of created Twitter. They want to handle that. So Google came up with a way of verifying websites. It's probably the most complex part of this. But what you do is inside of your Google console, you're gonna go inside of here and you're gonna say, hey, verify these websites. So a lot of you are making mobile applications. How many of you are making a mobile application, there's a website, but you don't control the website, like someone else on marketing does? That's me. That's what happened to the Evolve app. Okay, perfect. What this will do, when you say verify website, it will send an email to your webmaster who controls that. It says, hey, Joe, or Sandy, or whoever is inside of here, do they own the website too? Because they're making your Android app, even if you don't know it, and they're gonna say yes. Perfect, and that's it, it's good to go. Now, if you have access, you can go to google.com/webmasters, and you can type in the Android application that's that will be on the Google Play Store. And that's it, you give it this nice identifier, whatever's up there, and that's it. So if I actually go over here to my google.com/webmasters, there we go. I want to show you something pretty sweet. Oh, why am I logged out? Oh, now I'm logged in. So cool. So here's me, and I'm going to go to the Monkeys app. Oh, this is the website, so we can see lots of traffic. Everyone loves monkeys. We got 15 minutes left. I don't think I was supposed to say that, but, you know, All right, so here's what I did, is I went up here and I clicked on the application. Look at that beautiful little, What did I do? Oh, Monkey's app, Android app. So it's kind of cool. The Google Webmasters is like, hey, we understand that the mobile apps are also, you can do some web content, and we can see lots of traffic to the Monkey's app. But here's what I did, is we can go in here and we can say, associate a website. And then it knows that the website's associated with it. So it makes that link. And now what's cool is that I can come to this Fetches Google. Check this out. It's an alpha version. They made it really scary with this grayed out that you can barely see alpha version. It says, hey, do you want to test this puppy? And you say, sure. Now, maybe your app's not live yet and you just want to test it. There, you could run a bunch of ABD commands and do a bunch of stuff. But you can upload an APK to them. And what this will do is it'll say, hey, this is the URL of my website. I want to make sure that the, what are you going to index, Google? Because as soon as you publish your app to the App Store and this thing's set up, Google's going to start investigating your app now. It's going to start getting in there. And if you have Hockey App installed, you're going to see traffic from Google. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of interesting. So I ran this thing, and I tapped on, let's say, the mandrill here. So I uploaded my app, and I went on here. And I can browse my application. That's weird, but awesome. They index, this is what Google's gonna do. They're gonna go in and they're gonna look for the URL that I passed. Essentially, this command right here comes in. It says home/mandrill, and this is the URL. Does my app index it correctly? And then the magic of Google and their Android army of awesomeness goes and they just do stuff. And you're like, here's your mobile app running on some random awesome device. Now, it doesn't download the images, but I think that's flipping cool. Anyways, so now it's set up and it's working. You're like, perfect, it's all working, James. Now what else do I need to do? Cool, all right. So I've done this, I verified my website. The last thing we need to do is publish our links. Because you saw I was handling the links coming in, but I didn't actually index anything, so I guess nothing would show up yet. And the reason I don't want to index yet is because I have to verify my website first or else it'll throw an exception. Because it actually, when you try to index, we'll verify with Google that you own that domain. And we do that by installing the Google Play Services app indexing NuGet package. And this is an older version, 27, but 29, the API is the same. So you just install that into your Android application, and then we do a few things. Essentially, we create a content action. So we are gonna create our Google API client. If you've used any Google Play services before, there's this client that you can connect to and then do a bunch of cool stuff with, like app invites and a bunch of anything else in there. Essentially, that's your connection. So what I'm gonna do first is after I on-create my activity, I'm gonna go ahead and create my little, my Google client. I'm gonna say add API, and the API that we want is appindexing.api. I'm gonna build that up. Now, similar to, remember how I was building the NS user activity with all that metadata? I'm gonna create this, they call it an action, but I just renamed it using our amazing using statements. I did using action equals, action is a very common word in C#, so it's very confusing. So I renamed it to index action. So they call this thing a thing, that's really what they called it, it's a thing. Like in the API, someone literally wrote thing and someone approved that. It's a thing, I don't know how that happened. So anyways, I'm using this builder for, I'm setting the name, description, a URL. This is the URL of the website. So monkeyapps.com/whatever/whatever. And I have the URL, that's the identifier. So notice that I'm setting the URL and I'm setting the identifier to the same thing. I'm doing that because I know that I have a mobile website. And that's what you would do. And then I build it up and I create that thing and then I Java cast that thing. Gotta Java cast it. Has anyone Java casted before? It's like you don't know you need to do it until it throws an exception. Yeah. So Java casting, all it's doing is saying, I don't know what the heck it's doing actually. It's Java casting it. It's doing some proper stuff to make it C#ified. John Dick would probably know. He's an amazing guy. Cool. Last thing I got to do, I got to index it. It's so simple actually. I have that app indexing action. That's what I just created right there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to connect start. When I on stop, so on start, on stop of the activity, I say end and I disconnect. That's it, just a few lines of code. You can easily integrate this into your application. It's like 6, 7, 7 lines of code. You handle it, you index it, and you're done. The beautiful part that I love about this is that it's so simple to do. I thought this was gonna be the most complex thing. And it wasn't the code that was complex, it was figuring out those two slides of how to connect the website. Once you do it once, it's so simple. Cool. So how do we connect it to the website? Well, Android, we're done. Done, simple. We already did monkey time, so we're gonna move on. Connecting to the website, we're done. Now you're saying, James, you didn't show me, you showed me those cool monkeys over on iOS. How do I connect that monkey's website over to my actual iOS application? Well, of course, like Apple, they made it super simple with provisioning profiles. So we got some work to do. Got some work to do, we're close. So Apple doesn't own the world's largest search engine, Google. It's Google. It's great. You could use other ones, but the world uses Google. So what you got to do is you got to associate a website. So this is what the Evolve app looks like. So Apple says, hey, there's other stuff out there. We need to integrate. So you need to tell us about it. Now they do have search bots. But what I'm going to do is inside of my info p list. Everyone loves their info p list. Has a bunch of information and stuff like that in it. This is actually inside of my entitlements. So info plist has stuff about your app. Entitlements, which also everyone loves, is additional junk that makes it not build. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna say this is an app link, and then you just put your website on there. I put evolve.xamarin.com and also www, just in case, I don't know. You can add as many as you want. Now what's important though is that you go over to everyone's favorite developer portal, the Apple developer portal, and you're like, whoa, look at this website that I can't figure out how to do anything in. And you search, of course, obviously to your app ID, where you've created your app ID, and obviously you're gonna click this little basketball button that says associate web domains. And you're like, cool, that's what I do. But then it gets better, because at this point, you have now destroyed your provisioning profiles, because you've clicked a button. So go download some new provisioning profiles, get them ready, and then ask your actual web host, and whoever your domain, whoever is running your website, to do this little file. It's the Apple App Site Association. You put that in your web root. So evolve.xamarin.com, if you actually typed in /apple-app/site, you would download this file. And it's a little bit of JSON, essentially, that Apple is gonna index for. They're gonna go look for this. And it says, hey, this website, does it belong to an app? And obviously, you're gonna find this random number that Apple has assigned to you. Then you're gonna put your app identifier, com.xamarin/evolve, and then your paths. So here I'm saying, hey, under session, there's this little star. So there's a whole bunch of stuff under here. Go and do that. More importantly, though, make sure that the type of that file is application, obviously PKCS7 MIME, obviously. Just remember that, so just do that. Cool. And we're done. Yay, we did it. Did it, we're done. But I'm not done with my talk, don't worry. Cool, so what about Xamarin Forms? You're like, James, we did iOS, we did Android, that's cool, and everything's working. It's a beautiful world of multi-connected everything. I love it, how did I do this? Miguel showed a slide, it was beautiful. And it was like, hey, you can deep link content. And you're like, whoa, what does that mean? Well, I'm gonna tell you. It's everything that we just did in Xamarin Forms with less code, it's amazing. Cool, so it starts with a NuGet. It all starts with a NuGet. I even put step zero, install this puppy. But only install this puppy in 2.3.0, any of the pre-release, pre-release 1 or pre-release 2. This is a brand new feature in Xamarin Forms itself, the core package. When you upgrade your application to 2.3.0, app links will be available to you. Now, Android, of course, is a little bit special because it has Google Play Services. We saw for iOS, I didn't have to install anything as part of the OS. Google Play Services is separate. So over here, you install the app links NuGet, only in Android. That's all you got to do. Then just like any other package, like if you're using maps, you would go ahead and you would add still your intent action, your intent filters, because that's still required, and then this guy. Well, let me move fast. Android app links.init, that is subject to change names, because it's still pre-release. But that's what it looks like today. And what this is doing is, remember how we had to have an activity and I'm doing the indexing? This is gonna give Xamarin Forms the initial setup that it needs for your main activity, that's it. And also so it doesn't get linked out by our linker. Cool. What's next? Oh, we index. Remember how I had to do like a whole bunch of spotlight search stuff and I had like this different API and like, you know, things didn't really align properly? Well, we have this new thing called an app link entry. You can think of it just like those monkeys I was creating. Here I have the URL, which is evolve.xamarin.com/session. This is my unique identifier, if you will. I create my app link, which Xamarin Forms team has abstracted both APIs for you automatically. I'm going to go over here and set the title description. And you can do one of two things. If you want to do it page by page, then you can set this isLink active to true or false. I always set it to true. In the Evolve application, I just index everything. And then I set a thumbnail. This is just an icon that I put, and that's what you want to show up in iOS. So I say it's an icon, whatever my app icon is. But what's really cool is if you have dynamic content, it doesn't have to be your app icon. It could be the product image inside of the Core Spotlight search. And then I say register link. So boom, boom, and then I respond. Final step, step three, four, kind of, start at zero. Indexes start at zero. This is cool. Inside of our app.cs or app.xaml.cs, wherever you're at, essentially very, very similar to how you are doing the Android stuff where I'm parsing the URL, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to get pass a URI, whether it comes from the web, whether it comes from Spotlight Search, whether it comes from Google App Indexing. It comes on in, you parse it out, and then you navigate however you want. So in Xamarin, the Evolve application, what you'll see is I navigate to the session tab, and I pop on to that session detail page, which is very cool. Which means now someone can share a link, and it'll open directly inside of the application. And that's it. If you're using Prism, anyone using Prism at all, or go to the Prism talk? It's a pretty cool framework. And they do URL-based navigation. So this could actually just be one line of code where you pass in the URI, and it handles everything for you. And we're done. Boom. Awesome. Xamarin Forms. It's amazing. Like, I thought that I was, like, I did it both ways for the Evolve application because this thing wasn't available yet. And I didn't even know it was coming out. And Jason goes, I don't know if you guys know, I abstracted that for you. And I was like, oh, man, I just spent, like, a week on this. It was amazing. It was so easy to integrate. And if you've already done any of this in the past and are moving to Xamarin Forms, the API is so great. But there's one more thing that I can't leave here without saying. The number one question I get at Xamarin Evolve is not for a selfie photo, it's number two. The number one question I get is, when are you guys going to open source the Xamarin Evolve conference application? I said, that's a great question. And let's go to the GitHub page, github.com/XamarinHQ/app-evolve, and we can see it's private. Let's do something here. Let's go into settings. Let's go into make public, app evolve, confirm, is now open source. You can go and grab this source code right now today. It has every single piece of functionality in it, including app links. It relies on Xamarin Forms 2.3.0, the pre-releases. It does the barcode scanning, Azure online, offline synchronization, background refresh, maps, push notifications, phone dialing, Wi-Fi configuration, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's 15,000 lines of code. I share anywhere between 88 all the way up to 99% of code on Windows 10. I even have a full Azure mobile app backend written in .NET that I'm sharing 23% of code. It's integrated with VSTS and BitRise, and you can look at all my test cloud and continuous integration. Furthermore, you can take a look at my crash reporting. Evolve happened, crashes happen, and then we tell you exactly how to get set up. When you download this application, it'll be reading first off of some local JSON information, or you can simply toggle a switch to automatically connect it up to the Azure mobile app backend, and we even tell you everything that you need to get started. This was me up until 2 a.m. for you. Everything that you saw here, including my Monkeys app, including the Evolve application, and an amazing, amazing documentation on the iOS search APIs, I highly, highly recommend checking out, is all available. I have 40 seconds left. So thank you guys so much. Please leave evals and follow me on Twitter, and I'll be around afterwards for questions. Thanks.